right, everybody, we're going to call the Monday, August 24th meeting together at 6:01 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of reflection after the meeting.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, and acknowledgement of guests. I'll start on my far right with Dr. Flores.
Ramon Flores, trustee, Area 5.
Good evening, everyone. Stan Mantooth, county superintendent, and on my far right, my executive assistant, Ms. Nancy Ackman.
Dean Kinnicky, Area 4.
Ron Marty Bates, representing Area 2.
Rachel Ulrich, representing Area 1.
Valerie Chrisman, associate superintendent of educational services.
Hello, Misty Key, associate superintendent, fiscal and administrative services.
Good evening, everybody. Roger Rice, deputy superintendent for student services, and with us this evening to help us through one of the items on the local educational agency plan is Dr. Carlos Dominguez.
Approval of agenda, please. I understand we've had two hearing items, C1 and C2, polled, so I look for approval of the agenda as amended with removal of C1 and C2.
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Bates.
Second.
Second by Mr. Flores. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Passes on a 4-0 vote. We have public comments this evening. We have two cards, Gloria Mercado 14 and Nicole Gates. Come on down.
Thank you. And some information is being passed down. Let me just say good evening to all of you, to President Kinnicky and Superintendent Mantooth, the rest of the board and staff. It's a pleasure to be here. Again, my name is Gloria Mercado Fortine, and I'm representing Opportunities for Learning, which we refer to as OFL. OFL is a WASC-accredited school. We offer a year-round learning, a year-round program. It is a blended learning program combined with guided independent learning with small group instruction and online classes taught by highly qualified teachers, and we are fully A through G compliant. Students are given a custom individualized performance plan, a learning strategy carefully crafted to fit each student's needs. We provide a personal support network to ensure academic success for all of our students. And many of the students, I'd say that a good number of students, come through our program for credit recovery and go back to their school district. So I would say a good 90% of those students return. We are not an ASAM school, and we do not participate in the alternative schools accountability model, even though we serve high-risk populations. That includes potential dropouts, credit recovery expelled, suspended youth, habitually truant, foster care, homeless, pregnant and parenting students, and in general, disengaged students. As a charter, we believe that we should be held to the same standards and level of accountability as any traditional school. We have received, as a charter, many accolades. For our work with at-risk students and underserved youth in California. Most recently, we're proud to say that we were recognized by U.S. News and World Report to be among the best high schools in the country for alternative programs. There's many things that we do, and you'll be reading some of that that information in the brochures. But we also have one program that we're very proud of, and that is we offer 15-week college career readiness program for all of our juniors and seniors. This past year, we have a foundation. This past year, we awarded $48,000 to graduating students pursuing higher education, and that could include community college, university, or any technical schools. We have been operating in the Ventura County for 7 years, so we, in effect, have been a silent partner out there working with various school districts and their high schools. We are a 7-12 program. Currently, OFL has two learning resource centers, and one is in Oxnard and one is in Simi Valley. We believe that we have a very unique program, and as you can see, we are as a big focus is experiential learning, character development, and leadership. We spend a lot of quality time with our students. As you can see, we have a camp where we take our seniors to the camp in Colorado, and we do a lot for those seniors going on, junior seniors, and we spend a lot of time trying to build confidence in them and talk about their future and just give them the leadership skills. Many of our students say they've never been on a plane, let alone have left California or their area. So it's a real impactful experience. That coupled with a very strong academic program. So I know we are time, so I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. And I look forward in continuing to share a little bit about OFL, our programs, and our benefits to the county in the months to come. So thank you.
Ms. 14, some of you folks may not recognize Gloria 14. Marty and I both had a chance to meet her years ago when we took a tour of the Vista Real Charter School System for Sam's out in the Palmdale area. And you all know Vista Real, our charter school up in Oxnard, has been doing such a great job. And then I know there was another time I got a chance to meet her. I took a couple teachers out there to meet with their folks that was thinking of opening a charter school. One of them has since retired, but she's teaching in college. Couldn't stay away from the classroom. She loves it. The other one has acquired her own high school, and she's just overjoyed down in Chinatown in LA, just having a great career down there, doing great work with the families down there. So it's nice seeing you.
Well, thank you very much. And you might, this is public education. My heart as a professional career educator, it's my heart is in education. Any way that we can come up to really help our kids succeed is wonderful.
Good evening. My name is Nicole Gates. I am the assistant principal at Opportunities for Learning, Oxnard. I just wanted to share a couple of things that I see on a daily basis because I'm at the center working with the teachers and the students. One thing that makes our program really unique is we serve over 3,000 summer school students each year between Oxnard and SUNY combined. We work with a lot of the surrounding school districts, mostly Oxnard Union, Ventura Unified, Napa Valley Unified, Simi Valley Unified, Moore Park Unified, Fillmore, even private schools, St. Bonnie, Santa Clara, Lorena. So we service a lot of students over summer, which we pride ourselves on. The Opportunities for Learning is we like to build the relationships with the students. Being an independent study charter school, we can work with the student one-on-one to help fill their gaps in education and hopefully transfer them back to their traditional school where they can graduate with their graduating class. In addition to summer school, Mrs. Mercado Fortin covered some of the programs that we offer, including the ranch that we have up in Colorado where students earn community service hours. We also have a self-sustained farm up in Mendocino County that students go to. We also, this year's our first year, we're sending students to Italy.
We need chaperones.
We also are...
Great school.
We're also going to Cuba. It's been a couple of years now that we've sent students to Cuba. We also have Northern Cal and Southern Cal college tours that we take students to tour the college campuses so that they know what is there for them after high school, especially our students in Oxnard. Not a lot of them have been on a plane, and so they don't know what is out there. They don't know what is past Oxnard. And so Oxnard actually turns out the most applicants for a lot of these programs that we like to send our students on. Again, we are A through G compliant. We also have NCAA approved courses, which we can offer students. We have small group instruction classes in math, English, and science. We are currently at the Oxnard Center taking care of biology and chemistry. Our senior center is doing biology and physics. So the students have different lab science classes that they can choose from. Sorry, I'm nervous. This is the first time I've ever presented in front of a board.
We're not that sharp.
And you've been very friendly and welcoming. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that's about it. I would love to continue coming monthly and to share a little bit more about our programs with you guys.
Seeing that you're in Simi Valley, have you had a chance to meet the new superintendent of the school district out there?
I have not. I am not the assistant principal for Simi. But I can go out and meet him and
whoever is the appropriate person to meet, if you'll contact me, I'd love to arrange that. So
okay.
Everybody can sort of be working cooperatively out there.
Sounds good. Our assistant principal in Simi, her name is Stephanie Bowen, and I will have her reach out to you. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I just have one question here. How is opportunities for learning different from Vista Real?
I don't know a lot about Vista Real. Vista Real runs a wonderful program, and they do work with at-risk populations as well. And so their curriculum the setup is kind of similar. We chose not to be part of an ASAM, the whole accountability. So we work more as a traditional type of school with those accountabilities. Ours is very career college oriented, as you can tell by our test scores. And I think the biggest difference really, because, you know, I love this very well. But I think the biggest difference is this whole aspect of a focus, because we are able to do it with this experiential experience and learning. That is something that is, you won't find with any other charter at all. We just took it a little step further because we could. And that is the ranch. And the farm, because at the farm we go into STEM or STEAM focus. In Colorado, it's making sure that every child goes through there. And they take a week. And it's all about them. It's teaching, it's planning the future, teaching leadership, challenging them. But at the same time, they're out there on the ranch. You know, a lot of them have ridden horses or work with animals, and we have that. So it's a little bit of that, especially for our underserved populations. Like I said, they haven't been out of their area. They've never taken an airplane trip. It's all free of charge. And so that part of our program is very, very new. You know, we do the college tours, so does, you know, many times we get the college tours. We take care of that. They spend a week of, you know, just traveling and visiting college, and we take care of all of that. So, again, I think we just want to be extra mile. It's just a bit of a little twist to it because of our focus. But, again, we just think it's a very, very strong academic program, but also an experiential component of it. is all the difference in the world to obtain those students.
Mr. Chairman, just let me remind the board that during public comment words.
Yeah, we normally do a question and answer, I understand, but seeing that we had such a packed room tonight, and this is the first time before us, I thought I'd break protocol just to get, so if the board will indulge me on that, I appreciate it.
And, you know, we do summer school for everybody. Whoever wants to, you know, a school student, a council student, for help, whatever way we can provide service, services, we're ready.
Look forward to hearing back from you folks again.
Thank you.
I look forward to hearing from you to set up a meeting with the Simi Valley Superintendent. Very much. We're going to move on. We mentioned earlier C1 and C2 vacated from our agenda. We had no closed session tonight. We'll move on to item E, preliminary. Need approval of the minutes of the 15th, 22nd, and 27th. Does anybody have any of those they wish pulled?
We should probably take them separately since I...
You have corrections?
No corrections, but I only attended one of the three.
All right, let's do the June 15th meeting first. I'll move for approval from someone.
Move to approve.
Second. First by Dr. Flores, second by Mr. Bates. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I must abstain.
And one abstention. Number two, June 22nd.
Move to approve.
Moved by Dr. Flores.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bates. Roll call, please. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? 4-0. Pass. Approval of minutes, regular meeting June 27th.
Move to approve.
Moved by Dr. Flores.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bates. Vote approval, please. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No abstentions.
One abstention.
One abstention, I'm sorry. Three with one abstention. Move on to the next item, correspondence.
We do, Mr. President, have one item of correspondence which came to us just this afternoon relative to item C2, which was the withdrawal of the appeal, case number 1514, which is the correspondence from the parent, as well as our inquiry as to whether they formally wish to withdraw, and that is the case. We also have copies for anyone in the audience should they need them. That's it for correspondence.
Great. Thanks, everybody at the staff level for working through some of those issues and keeping off our agenda for this evening. Appreciate it very much. With the president and board member reports, Dr. Flores.
Just want to report that I had a chance to attend the accreditation of our province. Looking forward to attending for more.
Mr. Bates?
None at this time.
Ms. Alder?
None at this time. Other than I look forward to the CCB fall conference.
It looks like we'll have a good turnout for that, so I look forward to seeing everybody there. I have nothing else at this time. Superintendent report.
Let's stay with item G just for a moment, if we may.
All right.
Ms. Sackerman would like a count of who is attending or planning to attend the leadership team retreat on September 1. It'll be at this building from approximately 1 to 5 p.m. That is a Tuesday.
I will be working. I'm sorry.
And if there is uncertainty, you can let Ms. Ackerman know sometime in the next day or two.
Nancy, I'll be out of town that day. I can't make that one. Sorry.
No, we'll take that.
Mr. Bates, do you know yet?
No, I don't know.
Okay. And an added upcoming event. Thank you for mentioning the province graduations, Dr. Flores. We have a rescheduled graduation for September 3rd at Providence. And that will be at 2:45 in the afternoon. Is that correct, Ms. Ackerman?
Yes.
Always look forward to them and would invite any and all board members to attend.
Is that the one that was canceled?
Yes. Yes, it was. Because the family could not make it.
Importantly, be there, that's for sure. All right, anything else on the sheet?
No, sir.
All right, Mr. Hampton, superintendent report.
All right, well, we do have a brief report. On paper, you see two items. Number one, something which is of no small importance to us, is that the California Department of Education has approved our local control accountability plan for the 2015-16 year. Thank you to Dr. Rice and his team and everyone who contributed to that, including Dr. Dominguez sitting in the audience with us tonight.
High fives all around.
The second item has to do with the fall conference travel packets. They should be at your spaces at the table for those of you who are attending the CCBE conference. And, you know, I would advise you either to attend or not attend Friday's panel on LCAPs if you want to hear me speak. Okay, a little bit of levity there. And in addition...
That wasn't levity. He was dead serious, folks.
A couple other items that I did want to share with you. Number one, our transitional kindergarten learning institute was one of three programs highlighted recently in a webinar by the Packard Foundation and the New America Foundation. And our work will be included in an upcoming policy paper about California's early childhood workforce. Thank you, Dr. Chrisman, for your efforts in that area. And also something from the SELPA, you know, that Mary Sample sometimes attends our meetings. And the SELPA has recently rewritten its entire local plan. This is the first time it's been done since 2004 when the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act was reauthorized. Congress has not reauthorized it since 2004, but there have been many changes in the law, practices, and regulations over the past 11 years. And so we felt it was important enough to rewrite and to make it consistent with those changes. When something like that is done, it requires all member governing boards to approve the plan as well as the assurances, which includes this board. The district boards are in the approval process now. About half have already completed it. And Ms. Samples will be bringing the plan to our board on their, at the September 28th meeting, hopefully for your approval. The reason I'm mentioning this now is because the plan is approximately 500 pages. If it would be the pleasure of an individual board member to have that printed out for them, we will certainly do so. What we would prefer to do is to have a copy available at the meeting, send you a copy electronically, and we will also have a copy available in our professional library for review by the public, so we're not killing too many trees.
Does that come with an executive summary?
Yes, it does. Good question. Very good question. So thank you for that. Now, if we had electronic board agendas, there would not be an issue. And that concludes my superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mantu. Legislative reports, Rachel?
None at this time.
Marty?
No.
Doesn't report nothing from Rome.
No. I was up in Sacramento. I'll tell you, everything sort of switched up there now that everybody's back. And the big thing now that the conversation I have there is tax. So more is that to come down the road. We'll move on to item J, consent action. Anybody want to present a motion to cover all four items, or does anybody need anything pulled?
So moved for all items.
So moved by Mr. Bates. Do I have a second?
Thanks.
We'll give this one to Rachel. She's under the weather. Let her have this one. First by Mr. Bates, second by Ms. Ulrich. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes on a 4-0 vote. We have no presentations this evening. We're going to move on to item L1, California State Preschool Program, Pre-Kindergarten Family Literacy Program, Agency Annual Report. This is an information item. Mr. Manchin?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And I am also pleased to let Dr. Chrisman have a voice tonight. And
we're going
to turn that over to Valerie.
This is something that is actually was approved in June, and it is now ready to be part of our presentation and agenda item. It's only for information. If you look at the backup for L1 on the back page, you can see there is a spot for the board to sign, for Stan to sign, that the board has in fact been presented with this final report. And the report is one that shows that our California Preschool Program centers, of which there are five, have completed all the necessary assessments.
Any questions to staff? property. Thank you very much for that information item. We'll move on to item L2, approval of local education agency plan, the LEAP for No Child Left Behind. This is an information action item. Mr. Mantu.
And this will go directly to Dr. Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Mantu. As with last year, this is an annual item.
We have done our level
best to do two things. One is to separate this from the LCAP so as to make them completely distinct. The local educational agency plan is predominantly dealing with how we spend our categorical money, federal money. And the LCAP is driven by the local control funding formula, which deals with state funding, including the base revenue and the supplemental concentration grants. That we presented to you back in June, and it was approved. What we've tried to do to do the best we can to merge somewhat of a cumbersome situation is to ensure the board and to ensure the public that we're making our goals very consistent with our LCAP and try to deal with it more from a programmatic standpoint than from a compliance standpoint. And as long as we're describing the things that we're doing in our schools that are good for kids, then we feel like the plan's going to be both compliant and useful to kids. And specifically, the four goals that we have are improving student achievement in English language arts and math, and the action steps that we've outlined for you have to do with aligning instructional materials, professional development, and obtaining English language proficiency for our English language learners and helping them to become proficient in English language arts and math. And by the way, all of that is in our LCAP. In addition, as is in our LCAP, goal three is to make sure that they're all being taught by highly qualified teachers. And goal four, which also is in our LCAP, is to make sure that we are providing education in safe, drug-free environments that are conducive to learning. And in fact, we just talked about that in senior management this morning. There's been a bevy of projects out at the site, and kudos to Paul Hansen and his staff. They've been extremely busy providing a lot of the upgrades and support of making sure that this is a reality for our students and for our staff. I also want to publicly thank Carlos for a lot of the work. One of the things that Carlos had the unenviable task of doing was to sit with both plans, literally probably with a highlighter, and say, yes, this one's in the LCAP, okay, it's over here, this one's over here, this one's over here, and really make sure that we weren't just putting things in there for fluff or something that was compliant. What I will say about this is it's not going away. This is an annual occurrence. We will try to bring it back to you separately from the LCAP. Usually we try to have a month or two in between there so that they're not confused. But what we will be doing during the school year, as with the LCAP, is identifying those areas where we think we're doing a good job, and we'll note that. And then where we think we need to improve, we'll put in the right-hand column, which deals with the needs, it's not needs improvement, but areas for growth that will move items back and forth. For example, with the CHAMPS process, when we first implemented CHAMPS, which is our positive behavioral system at Gateway and Phoenix and Triton in our schools, when we first implemented it, it was in the right-hand column, which is an area that needed to grow. And then as we became model programs in the state and actually in the country for that model, move it over to the left-hand column. So it's a constant process of evaluating how we're doing with the plan and moving items back and forth. So with that, Carlos and I are ready to answer any questions, and it does need approval.
What's your process for going back? You know, this is very voluminous. I don't envy what you had to go through. How periodically, I mean, is this an ongoing process you guys continually go through at your level, or do you hold regular meetings to see if we're achieving these goals?
I'll give it a shot, and Carlos can jump in. Yeah, we're required, we're mandated to have parental involvement and staff involvement, and in fact, we went through a recent federal program monitoring that took a look at that process. And I'm not embarrassed to say that one of the challenging aspects we find in our schools is to get meaningful parental involvement in this. You know, one might say there's a correlation between the challenges that our students face and the level of involvement of their parents. So it is very difficult for us to get a robust component, both for the LCAP and for the and for the LEU plan. So what we do is we try to take advantage of the opportunities that we do have, for example, at our open house, our back-to-school night, our all calls, our student handbook, our guidelines for student success, our student contract. And at all of those turns, we do the best we can to survey the parents and get the feedback. With that said, I would say the bulk of the input that we get for these plans comes from teachers, paraeducators, and staff, along with our community partners that we're involved with, especially in the court and community schools, because mental health, Ventura County Behavioral Health, the probation department, and some of the other public agencies that we work with on a daily basis. Now, they do give very robust input into these plans. And then for special education, it would be our districts as well. They're very much involved in advocating for the kinds of services that we provide to their students. We're working to get better at the parents. And in fact, if you look at our LCAP, we have specific targets that we've set to increase parental involvement. But basically what happens is every year we have to sit down with the plan and go through it, item by item. It is tedious to answer your question, but it has to be done.
You know, certain reports that are generated by staff, when they have what I call really valuable information for the phone calls we get, these kind of documents come out and go into the folder I have at home because I find them very useful for answering questions. And this is one of the most detailed reports I've seen in a long time. It'll be helpful for us. Thank you. Any other questions to staff?
I'm just sorry, Christian. It said it's a five-year plan. It's supposed to be a five-year plan, but you guys choose to just...
To update it every year.
Every year. But the federal government just wants it every 5 years? Or?
It's kind of like the LCAP, right? It's a three-year plan that you update every year.
Oh, okay. So it's a five...
And then at the end of the 5 years, we come up with a new plan, and then we update that every year.
And I don't know if you guys caught this, but for whatever reason, performance goal one keeps coming up that all students will reach high standard by 2013-2014.
Thank you for that. That is one of the more tedious aspects because it's constantly renewed.
I know what you meant. We have to keep looking
for dates and for... Thank you for that, though.
Any other questions, staff? We have an action item on this, so I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
You want voice vote on this one, please?
We need a motion and a second.
Yeah, we need a motion. Wants to go with a motion.
Move that the board approve the Ventura County Office of Education, Local Education Agency Plan for submission to the California Department of Education.
Moved by Mr. Bates.
I will second.
Second by Rachel. Any discussion? Call for the vote. Ms. Allred?
Aye.
Mr. Bates?
Aye.
Dr. Flores?
Aye.
And I'm aye. Four in favor for passing out. Item L2. Item L3, consideration of electronic board agendas and explanatory material. Mr. Mantu.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an item we believe will be of great potential 21st century benefit to not only this board, but the general public, as well as staff. I'd like to reintroduce to you our Chief Technology Officer who's with us tonight, Mr. Steve Carr, who will be talking about some of the advantages of this particular piece of software, but I'll do a little bit of introduction before we give him his 10 minutes. And it comes in two versions, one that we call Lite and another called Pro. The Pro is substantially more expensive, a lot more robust, but at this point in time, we don't feel that that would be the recommended option for you. One of the things among many that it will do, however, is, as you referred to, reports that you keep in a folder or in a file cabinet or something else will no longer be able to have to be kept in hard copy form. They will all be archived on their site, on our site, or you can store them on your own devices. And you can look up anything from the past by keyword or by date or by topic. And the general public can do the same thing. So basically, not just the agendas we send out, but now all of the backup that would be electronic in future board agendas would be available for review by virtually anyone that has access to the internet. And in addition to that, they provide on-site training, most of which would occur with Mrs. Ackerman as our lead person on putting these agendas together, as well as the other assistants in the administrative office area, and probably all of about 20 or 30 minutes of training for the board and senior staff, because that part of it's very easy for, would be very easy for all of you. It's essentially a point-and-click, mouse-driven system. And in addition to that, one of the other things that we would contemplate doing would be, if the board were to approve moving forward, a phasing, so that for the next 2 or 3 monthly meetings, you would still have your printed agenda, but also a device. And it works on any device. And so it could be one that you have of your own choosing, that you're familiar with, that you like, or we would procure for each board member an appropriate tablet so that you could see all of this information. And pretty much any time you wanted to. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Carr.
If I check one thing, and maybe even covering your presentation, seeing that we're being asked to take a hard look at the LIGHT program, I noticed on the other one that private document annotation for government board members was not included in the first version. Does that mean I'm not going to be able to put notes on the page? If you could address that in your presentation, I'd appreciate it.
That's a great point. First of all, good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. Thank you again for the opportunity to present. Stan just answered all the questions and gave the presentation, so I'm done. No, it's for the most part, that's a very good point. The real difference in, one of the differences between the LIGHT and the PRO version is the ability for a board member to annotate right on the document. And when we just recently, Stan and Ms. Ackerman and I were on a conference call with their chief of marketing, and he said that's really one of the big differences, because of the fact that they try to do everything they can to secure the site and really deal with issues around privacy and around violating any of the Brown Act regulations. They really are very careful about who can see what, and that's the more complicated part. So therefore, the PRO version requires more of that security and more of that separation of responsibilities. So our suggestion, if you were going to go with a LIGHT version, is that you would keep another application open, say Word or OneNote or another application that you might be able to keep your own notes in that are private and only available to you. It's very easy within the application currently to pull up an item. If you want to copy it and paste it in your own document and make annotations on it, that's one way to do it. They do have in the PRO version that ability to annotate, and that stays just with you. But that's not available in the LIGHT version.
Seems like that's the hook to try and get you in.
Well, there's that, and there's also this other feature called a library, where you can keep, Stan could put all the focus of education, so you could put a superintendent's message, you could put any other communications into that library. The other piece that's in the PRO version is this ability. Many boards that I've seen that have gone to the PRO version also have this. It's really kind of a full voting option, where it pops up a counter when a public member comes up to speak and it starts ticking off the clock. You can do electronic voting. There's some other bells and whistles that are part of the PRO version. I'm part of a board called the SEDPA, the California Educational Technology Professionals Association, and we use the LIGHT version for the last 2 years. We've been very happy with it. We are just considering the PRO version primarily for things like keeping external documents, and we're doing this in a current SharePoint site right now, and some of the board members are getting frustrated with it, jumping between different applications. So I just think it's something to consider, but that is one of the hooks. You're absolutely right.
And it would not be an option that would not be, I mean, it's an option that could be available down the road, too. But as Steve was saying, their person told us that particular capability is most of the reason why it's so expensive. Is to have that individual
security
parsing
part. Are we piecing this program then? We're not buying
it's a subscription. Yeah, it's a subscription service.
You can't go in and write language. And,
no, it's $3,000 a year for the LIGHT version as a subscription. They host for you, they maintain it, they keep it up and running. The PRO version jumps up to $12,000. They have about 1,500 clients currently. It's probably the most widely, I look in on the list that I think Ms. Ackerman included of those that are California, it's very widely used. I've seen a number of county offices that have adopted, a number of school districts that are using it. And they filled a niche, and they do a really good job with it. So, I mean, of course, one thing that is important is that you have internet access, because, again, it's all web-based. One thing I really like about it, and I can just show you real quickly, I've seen some of the other electronic board documents. One of the challenges you have is if you have a number of attachments in your board items, whether they be a PDF or they be a sound file or a video file, what they oftentimes do, these other products do, is they launch an external application. So you might have a PDF that launches Adobe Acrobat, which would then mean that you all would have to have Adobe Acrobat on your computer and the same versions. One of the things that's really nice about this is it launches it within your browser, just opens up a second tab, and launches that PDF right there in the browser window, and you can just jump back and forth. And I could show you that to you real quickly, but it's kind of an all-in-one thing where it doesn't, and that's one of the reasons they've been very successful, is that just about any low-powered tablet will work. It can be an iPad, it could be an Android device, anything that is browser-based. You can do it on a Chromebook, you can do it on an inexpensive device. You also have the capability of printing any page that you might want to, if you have access to a printer. But any of that is still possible for those that might need that. So,
were there any programs you evaluated that were basically the same price, but would allow us to keep notes actually right on the page?
I haven't seen one. This is probably the most widely used one, probably because they've been at it the longest, and they've kind of worked out some of those kinks. I haven't seen a competitor's ability to be able to keep those. And again, I think it's because of Brown Act. If you do it, you have to be very discreet about what permissions you give, because you wouldn't want to see Dr. Flores or Ms. Ulrich be able to see your notes, because it could conceivably violate Brown Act. So I think that was one of the things, security-wise, they wanted to really pay attention to.
I'm sure that you're going to get into this in your presentation, but referring to his Privacy Act, my concern as I was going through this on the privacy is that many of our programs and our agendas include interdistrict appeals and sometimes expulsions, which are subject to some privacy items. How is that handled?
Secure stock, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we only determine, and this will be a lot of Nancy's training up front, is to know what it is that we make available to the public. Just because it's available to you, it's all permission-driven and role permission-driven. So you as a board member may have access to more documents than the public does. You make available to the public what is the right of the public's. And so if something is FERPA or HIPAA-related or has some other privacy rule behind it, that would not be available. You would make that in the public question. Yeah. So that's certainly, and again, even administrative staff might have access to more as they can contribute, as they can add to, as they can delete. And that's one of the things we've talked about is giving more rights to those people because they have to do that. As a board, you probably have a little less than that because you're not necessarily contributing on that. You're reviewing those documents, but obviously Nancy and other collegial staff would be the ones who would be putting the documents together.
Yeah, I've had some experience with this because the city of Simi has had online service for many, many years. And I happened to be on the Planning Commission when they first introduced it. And one of the great things of the program they used was you could highlight in yellow certain sentences if you wanted. You could do a post-it note on it. So you didn't have to go print out a page and then bring it to the meeting and stuff. And it sure made it very, very convenient. And again, I think this company's come up with a good way to try and drive people towards the more expensive version. When, because you've made the statement that there's a lot of competition, this thing just shows what competition does and doesn't do.
When we were asking that question, because it was part of our discussion, you know, we were trying to understand how quickly or easily you could switch back and forth, and it's just a question of actually clicking a tab. If you have a program open, you hit one button with your mouse, it opens up your notes for you, you make your notes, you go right back to the agenda. And you can have, if I understand it correctly, with that tab format, you can have the agenda itself open with the items, and then the specific item, you know, to go to.
Would this be at the time then, if we introduce this, that we'd actually have a physical monitor here, or we'd be doing everything off tablet?
Both.
Or should we let you make a presentation?
Well, all I was going to do, and I think, unfortunately, you were not able to be at the last time I presented, I think it was back in May, but we talked about it, and I said, well, why don't I come and I'll just sample real quickly what it would look like to go online and take a look at it, kind of give you a feel for just, and I've got to be really cognizant at the time.
Let's do that, Ben.
Let me just do that. So first of all, if you don't mind, I'll sit. Can I move this down? So you can see right at the very beginning, this is Jason Alexander. I guess he's going to be their kickoff speaker for this company. From the side.
Hey, much younger in the picture.
Look at the name of the show, An Evening with Jason Alexander and His Hair. So obviously they've got him as a guest speaker, a little comedy in there. But so first of all, one of the things that you'll notice is I've got this open right now in Internet Explorer. It also works in, this is in Chrome, so different browsers. It seems to behave very cleanly in both. Just as an example, this is one that the rep sent us. So I logged in and just pulled up the meeting. So you can simply click and you can see the tabs are up here along the top. This happens to be the pro version. So you can see the pro version has this library, and I'll just jump back and forth to the other one that the SEDPA board that I'm on that doesn't have the library. We're on the light version. But so, for instance, the library would have these extra pieces that you could have in your library. You could have superintendent's messages and all kinds of other things that you might have as part of a library that wouldn't be part of the light version. On the meeting side, if I went to a meeting, you'd simply pull up the meeting, and you click over here and view the agenda. And by the way, I should have gone back there one sec. So if I'm back here looking at the meeting again, oops, I went back too far. I'll go back to the meeting. And you can also print the agenda, not that you want to burn up your printer doing that, but in some of the pro versions, they also have where you can view minutes, you can watch a video for those that have recorded them. And I mean, depending on your boards and how much you want to make that available to the public, some of them have even gone that far. But with the agenda, so let's say we pull up an agenda item, you've got the items here along this column, and you can just scroll through and see any of those items in there. And let's say I wanted to see the minutes. You notice this little icon here represents an attachment. So if I pulled up the minutes, I simply click on this. And this one, they actually included like an audio clip of the consent agenda, but you could also just pull up the PDF version of this. And if you notice what happened when I pulled that up, it loads the draft minutes. Here is the original tab up here with the agenda item, and here, again, you could have multiple tabs open. All the attachments that you have could be open in, along those tabs in that same browser. And you can just simply close, but that's a PDF. One thing that Ms. Ackerman and I talked about is one of the things she's very helpful with all of you about numbering and making sure your tabs and your numbers are all accurate. One thing that I talked to Nancy about is making sure that when we're creating PDF documents, we try and do everything we can to organize those PDF documents so that they're numbered accordingly, so that they can be easily accessed. So when you're trying to search through a 535-page document, you all have the same numbering scheme. And some of that is about learning how to use Adobe tools in a way that makes sure that we can organize it properly for your benefit. So, and you can also, one of the beauties of this, though, is you can also search within any of that. You can go in and search an item within that PDF, you can search within the board docs itself. So that's something that's always available. So again, there's searching right here. That gives you searching within any of the agenda items. You can go back, and I heard your question earlier about going back to previous years. You could have other meetings in here from, again, we wouldn't be pulling all of our old agendas in, but anything moving forward would become electronic. That would be our goal here. But again, any meeting could come up, and once that comes up, you simply pull up this, and you can go in and look at any of the different items within that agenda. Different boards do it different ways, but from any page you're in here, you can go and print that page. You can scroll down from here within this window, and if there is an attachment, there's an attachment accordingly. With their library, one of the other things that I did see is they had, like, they linked items within their agenda to the board goals, and that would have been referenced from their library. Again, with a light version, that piece is not available at this point. So that's kind of just the big picture of how it looks. It's all point and click. You know, one of the suggestions would be, let's say you have the light version and you wanted to annotate or keep notes. You can certainly always capture any of these items by copying them, dropping into a Word document, and making annotations from there. But within the actual board agenda, you can't do that with the light version. So I thought I'd just show you just real quickly now how you would log in. So I have a login for my SEDPA username, and this is actually the light version that I'm going to take you to. But real quick, you can see it's a very simple interface. This is, again, with Internet Explorer rather than Chrome. And so just pulling up our agendas, this is going to log us into the probably time now. Let's see. So I could pull up one of our agendas from our board, again, view the agenda. We can go down and do the same thing. You can see the only things that are missing up here, you don't have that library, and we didn't have some of those other things that were across. But one of the things that I find, and it identifies you right up here with your username, so you always know you're logged in. And this is one of the things that, just from the training perspective, is making sure everybody knows their username and password, which I know you've got a million of them, but it's a matter of keeping track of that, because that's really your unique username and logon for that. But again, anything can be printed out from there. We can go into the secretary's report, and you can go in and see minutes. You can do any of our other attachments that might be part of our board agendas. Anything that has that little tab there shows that that agenda item might have an attachment. And so your question about highlighting, our secretary keeps track of this, and she would highlight any of our motions, but that was not something that we could individually annotate. That was only done by whoever the secretary keeping minutes for that particular meeting was. So that's just the way, but different boards handle it differently. So that's kind of a quick overview of how it looks. It's a pretty simple interface. I played around with it quite a bit. We've been using it on our board for a couple of years, and we're really happy with it. Much more than an endorsement. We know a number of other districts that have moved in this direction.
Yeah, and I think you might have the list in your backup. There are about 100 school districts in California that are using this, and they keep adding. I actually heard their ad on NPR a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But one of the other things, Steve, I wanted to clarify is the initial cost is $3,000, and then each year thereafter, is it another $3,000, or
also a $1,000 startup fee. So there's the initial startup, which is really covers their travel to come down, spend a day working with Nancy and staff, and then doing whatever the board needs to be comfortable with using the interface. And they thought that this could be a 20-minute presentation to the board, but they would do that with the board.
They haven't met Marty, have they?
No. we might have to get some special help to whoever needs it.
The reason that I ask is we did a rough estimate of what it costs to do the printed agendas each year and the courier service, and it's about $4,000. So we're not talking about a huge dollar savings. We're talking about moving into the 21st century, talking about transparency, access, and ease of use.
That's right.
I was reading through this, I asked it to be agendized, and I think it's something we need to do. I agree, maybe start with the light. One of the other things that I saw in the pro version, we've had discussions before on the board about trying to broadcast our meetings, and we all realize that's pretty much an impossibility because of all the different cable companies throughout the county. But it could be filmed and it could be streamed on video in that pro version if somebody wanted to go back and watch a meeting after the fact. So that's something the board may want to give some thought to also. Are there any other questions to staff on this?
No, but I would actually like to make a motion to try the light version and invest a year and see how it goes.
Yeah, one additional question. If the board approved this tonight, what are you looking at as far as timing on something like that?
Well, we did not make any assurances to the company whatsoever, other than we would get back to them after the meeting, depending upon what the board's pleasure was. So I would anticipate that probably we would have a period of weeks before we get scheduled with some of our in-house training, working out how it's going to be rolled out with you. And again, want to make sure that we do it in a graduated enough way that the transition is smooth and we can take our time. Yeah, how many years have we done it this way?
Exactly. As I say, if maybe we shoot for target date of first year or something, that gives you guys enough time to let this saturate in.
We would probably hope that by the beginning of next year, you're fully weaned from a paper agenda.
By January.
So you'd have 3 or 4 meetings under your belt. Both devices.
We can also talk about, I think this is something you can discuss with Nancy, but we can identify a tablet of your preference. But this is working with, you know, what we've heard is low end tablets. I mean, we're not talking super high end laptops, iPads, Androids, Windows machines that are that they can be used as a functioning either laptop or tablet, but all point and click or with a mouse. It's really going to be your discretion.
And the other thing that I think is interesting about the question about showing on the monitors, the audience will see the agenda behind you on a bigger screen, so they'll see the material too.
I mean, that's one of the things that Ms. Ackerman and I talked about, is just how that would flow. What would that be like with either Nancy doing that or somebody else, you know, moving through the agenda? But it could be the secretary. Actually, it could be anyone. So,
We have a first on the table, and we got a discussion a little ahead of ourselves. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Flores.
All right. Question, as I go through all of these list of the people that are currently using, I noticed that there is nobody in Ventura County using it. Is there a reason for that?
The Rio School District uses it, and the Community College District uses it.
Okay, I didn't catch the Rio School
District. But there are 1,000 school districts in the state, and so they only have about 10% in their customer base. So it's not surprising that we only got 2 from Ventura.
Okay, is this something that you would anticipate other local districts following this on?
Sure. In one form or another, I would see probably within the next year or 18 months, you're going to see a migration by most every organization. I know other boards that I sit on are already.
So in effect, we've been kind of leading the way.
We like that.
Yes, and I like that too.
Once again.
Okay, would it be appropriate to have an addendum to the motion to determine whether we are going to use our personal computers or have this office provide pads for us?
As I mentioned earlier, that would be strictly individual board member choice.
Oh, okay.
If you have a device you're comfortable with, you want to use and bring, that's just great. But otherwise, we would get a serviceable, inexpensive tablet that you would be able to use and take with you.
Then it's not necessary to have an amendment.
That was my question. You know some of those 12-year-old ones that come up when we're getting rid of stuff? You do know DOS, right?
Oh, the disposable property?
Yeah. Artie knows DOS.
I know DOS, yeah.
All right. We have a first, then we have a second.
Look at what comments I wanted to make.
Yes, please.
I can't help myself, I don't make this joke. You had me at XML. This is the world. Every single day. So, Mr. Chair, to your comment, would it be possible to take this light and try to customize it? I've got a team of engineers working full-time, and it would be cost-effective. So the capabilities are there, but it just wouldn't be cost-effective to what I want to do. The question I had is actually more along the line of the hardware. From a platform perspective, again, my recommendation would be to go with a tablet, not a laptop. I mean, this is, we're consuming content, we're not creating content, which is the whole purpose. Initially, it pointed to the tablet concept. So I would recommend, as Mr. Mendez said, a tablet, minimal functionality, didn't hope that would be sufficient for taking off from Congress. The only other question I had was, I realize we've got a website, we keep our notes and our minutes, agendas. I know we've got SharePoint, so are we going down this road? Are we going to be bound in any way to the content that we're going to provide and be putting here? Because essentially this is becoming a repository for us. If for whatever reason down the road we decide not to renew, how will you have access to the content we're supposed to be here?
That's a great question. And having read through the contract, there is an exit clause, and all the content in there is exportable. And in the effect that we wanted to move content to some other location, it is all ours and can be brought down into any format. So it's a really good question. Also, one of the things that we asked is currently our board policies are all on the it's on our web page, on public-facing web page. We have superintendent policies on our SharePoint site intranet page. And again, we're doing everything we can to keep those separate. We can, from this, from either the light or the full version, you can actually link to either one of those policies through these sets of policies through this. So we could hyperlink from within here to our board policies so that we're not duplicating. We can keep our board policies right where they're at now, and it wouldn't be replicating that. It wouldn't be duplicating that.
Because
yeah.
From time to time, board policies and as we're going through the agenda.
Well, Dr. Flores brought up a really good point, because this is something, as more services are going to the cloud, you really have to investigate exit strategies, because it's all about who owns that content and where it belongs and where it goes. And that was one of the things that I looked at really carefully, is that they don't in any way own your content. You can always export it, and we looked at different ways that you can bring it back in should you decide to go with another solution down the road. So it's a very good question.
Well, we have a first by Ms. Ulrich, a second by Dr. Flores. I'd like to do a roll call vote on this. Ms. Ulrich?
Aye.
Mr. Bates?
Aye.
Dr. Flores?
Aye.
And I'm an aye also. Passes on a 4-0. Thank you, Mr. Carr.
Yes. Thanks, Dr. Usagor doesn't like it.
He'll like it.
I did want to take an opportunity to mention to you that on September 9th, we are scheduled to launch our new website.
All right.
It's been under development for a number of months. I'd like to thank Steve and Dave Shermer, our communications person. And I think you're going to love the look and the functionality of our new website. And it's been the better part of a decade since we've changed that. So we're excited about that.
On that one, will there be a new version of like the CD we now use for presentations that's updated with you on there that we can?
We would need to retape and bring that current.
Keep on them on that. We've been asking for a year. Real good. All right, we're going to move on to item L4 at this time. Possible endorsement of the CBE Director at Large. I'd like to turn this one over to Dr. Flores.
Thank you for that. So CSBA has their election cycle coming up. Heidi Weiland, who is on the El Dorado Board of Education, approached me about possibly trying to see if this board would write a letter of endorsement, letter of support for her candidacy for the office of Delegate at Large County. That position has been filled by Mike Walsh for years. Mike has decided not to seek that position again, so the seat is open. And one of the reasons I want to bring this to this board's attention is I've had a chance to meet and get to know Heidi the last 7 years. You see the letter that was drafted. It discusses some of the stuff that she has done. The annual conference is a huge event. What wasn't mentioned in the letter is she has served as vice president of CCBE, and in that capacity, one of her other roles is the editor of the core newsletter. The time that I've been on CCBE, the quality of their content has really increased. It's really very professional. She has a lot to do with it. But one of the main things that I wanted to point out, during her tenure as president, one of the things that she wanted to do is reach out more to CSBA and also to CSESA to try to make CCBE more relevant. To her credit, she was a driving force to allow CCBE to have representation on the CSESA legislative committee. And the reason that's critical is we already have representation on the CSBA Legislative Committee. So now the CCB, this committee, has an opportunity to hear perspectives on legislation affecting county offices from CSBA's view and also from the superintendent's view. And again, without her leadership, we would not be able to do that. So it's for all those reasons that I would like to make a to this board for their consideration to see if we would be willing to write a letter of recommendation for Ms. Well and for the director of Erich County.
Dr. Flores, I'd ask that maybe you modify that motion that we allow staff to write the letter and then we can sign it.
Definitely.
We have a second.
I will second it. I know Ms. Weiland, and she's been fantastic and has served on the county board for, I'm guessing, a long time. Ramon, she's
16
what?
Years.
16 years, yeah, I know she's been very active quite a while. And she looks very young, so she must have started when she was 12.
All right, we have a first and second. We'll do a roll call vote on this. Ms. Ulrich?
Aye.
Mr. Bates?
Aye.
Dr. Flores?
Aye.
I'm an aye also.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for bringing that to the board. Item N, board member comments. Ms. Ulrich?
I have none.
Mr. Bates?
Minutes or something.
Dr. Flores?
None for me.
None for me either. Future agenda items, any board member or superintendent? Hearing none, we'll go on to future meetings. Next meeting, September 28th, 6 p.m. Look forward to seeing everybody then, and we'll close this meeting at 7:08 p.m.